Financial Services Group First Rand, whose portfolio includes FNB, RMB and Westbank, released its interim results today, posting a 7% rise in interim earnings, with credit for that boost attributed to FNB, which managed double-digit earnings on strong customer growth. RMB managed 5% growth, while Westbank grew a tepid 1%. The group adds that despite the difficult macroeconomic environment in the home market, it will continue to invest in its long-term growth strategies. And the company's CEO, Alan Pullinger, joins us in studio now to reflect on the numbers and what it means for that long-term growth strategy moving forward. Thanks so much, Alan, for joining us in studio this evening. So we've seen quality top-line growth coming through, earnings up 13% and an ROE at 22.3% in a still very constrained environment. What are you putting your performance down to?
Yeah, Alicia, as you say, FNB's was the star of the show. So they lifted the overall portfolio. So we're very pleased with 7%. In this market. I mean, particularly from an institution the size of First Rand. I mean, it's difficult given our size to really defy the lackluster GDP. And so this little bit of outperformance on the earnings scale is all really due down to FNB.
Yeah.
They had a really cracker result.
We'll be getting into the details of that in just a bit. It is an important question, though, and I ask it because chatting to a broker earlier today, he highlighted what's particularly curious is the fact that we haven't seen the casualties of the South African economy, the likes of Basel Reed, Group 5 as well, you know, actually reflect in the banking sector as a whole or your balance sheet. So, you know, where are the casualties of this economy hiding?
Yeah.
And that's the big question right now.
Yeah, I mean, and it is a good question. I suppose the one thing that is evident with the construction sector is it's been challenged, I think, for many years now. And so I think the banking sector has been cautious around lending to that sector. And I think Group 5, and that's why I think the exposure to individual banks is probably not of the scale that you would think when a corporate fails or goes into business rescue. I think the bigger risks for us as a banking sector is when you get a jump to default.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when for example a Steinhoff type event happens where, you know, one day you think it's fine, you've got big exposure, you know, next day there's a problem. I think if you have got a lot of time and a lot of signaling, you can see that the banks can try at least work their way out of that exposure, or at least try and mitigate it. So it's very sad to see what has happened to Group 5 today. I mean, it is a consequence of what's happening in the economy. And these are, you know, these are organizations that are responsible for building a lot of what we see around us. I mean, they are, you know, they've got tons of talent, engineers, and you know, hopefully when things rebound in South Africa, we've got to make sure that this capacity and capability remains in the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't save everyone, and maybe there was too much capacity and maybe it did need to get taken out of the economy. But these are very important institutions.
While we wait for that cycle to turn on an economic basis, should we be expecting to see more of the risks associated with corporate exposure cropping up on your balance sheets later on? Would this exposure to high debt levels on many fronts, not just the construction space?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen the challenges now with Tongaat as well. I mean, they also have a fairly chunky debt exposure on that balance sheet, and I think pretty much all the banks are probably in there. The other area where you see it, particularly where you see share prices collapse, is a lot of the BEE financing deals that the banks got involved in. Some of those structures come under pressure.
Yeah.
So even though the company itself may be able to withstand some pressure, often the share can't, particularly if it's got gearing against it. So you're seeing those sorts of things pop up. Yeah, I think slowly but surely the strength has been taken out of the South African corporate sector. You know, I think corporates have done a lot of what they could do around cutting costs, getting themselves more efficient, you know, trimming operations. But I think the longer this sort of low growth environment persists, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be harder and harder. And, you know, this is why it can't go on for too much longer.
So let's hone in then on what First Rand is doing as a corporate to withstand some of these pressures in the meantime, because one of the metrics that stands out is the kind of growth you're seeing in customers. It comes as you've worked on activating your digital channels to drive volumes, cross and upselling to your main bank customers as well. Just how telling has the behavioral analytics you've employed been about what your customers want and, you know, where that's directing you?
Yeah, so I think we use... So firstly, we have been able to grow customers, you know, and I'm going to say sort of tongue-in-cheek, you know, why is FNB gaining customers? It's because our customers like what they see. So they are joining because they like the propositions. I say it sort of tongue-in-cheek, but there's definitely some truth in that. So I think FNB has been leading the market around some of these digital strategies. Behavioral analytics, I mean, you know, we made a comment about it in the presentation of our results. And we have been using behavioral analytics now for decades.
Yeah.
So it started around our scorecards. So we don't simply just take your income to populate sort of a credit and risk appetite scorecard, but we take behavioral factors into account. We use behavioral factors around eBucks, our gamification, in terms of awarding generosity and influencing behavior. We use behavioral analytics around how we transmit funding in the group. You know, we talk about funds transfer pricing. So if you think about First Rand, you know, on the one hand, sort of FNB gathers deposits, which is great savings, but of course then WesBank needs those savings to make a vehicle loan.
Absolutely.
But now inside the institution, how do we transmit the funding cost into WesBank so that they properly price for that vehicle loan?
Yeah.
And we take into account the behavior of those customer deposits. So behavioral analytics, I think, is part and parcel today of modern banking.
Yeah. Alan, you bring up proper pricing, and I've got to ask you about the furore that's been triggered in the lending space with the BBC meeting the Banking Council over discrimination claims, alleged discrimination by black clients by First National Bank and other banks. How exactly are you tackling that issue right now?
So that matter goes back to this acquisition of Samba. So this is actually a long-standing matter. Mm-hmm. I know it surfaced again, but it has been on and off in the media for some time. It's been through the court process. There are lots of public documents where I think a lot of the facts are there for people who would like to spend the time to go and research them. I think there are lots of allegations. We take comments around racism very, very seriously. It is not part of our institution. It's not part of our frameworks. It's not part of our risk scoring. We find it reprehensible. When some of those practices that we picked up in Samba, and this goes back now to 2002 mm-hmm. when we made the acquisition, the remediation was done on that book. We think it was properly done and it was completely done. If there's elements that have been missed or weren't properly done, we will make that good. But as far as we can see, that work was properly done. So we will participate in all of these forums. I think it's very important. There is no place for racism in this country, particularly not in banking, and particularly when it comes to our customers. So let's see where this gets to. But I think as long as we can stick to the facts, then I think we'll land it well.
Well, we'll of course be tracking developments there as they unfold. Alan, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Alan Pullinger is CEO of First Rand.